Hi, this is Jeremy.
Hi, this is Nick.
This is Cloud of Witnesses.
Journey with the Saints.
We hope you enjoy this episode.
On the life of Saint Theodora the Empress.
Come, Theodora. Why the sad face? The people want to see their new empress. Maybe you aren't aware of this, but I've caught on to your icon-worshipping practices.
What?
From this day forth, I forbid you to practice your idolatry. My servants are burning your icons as we speak.
Hello, and welcome to Cloud of Witnesses, Journey with the Saints, a dynamic, full cast retelling of the lives of the saints.
Our story begins in a tumultuous time in the church. It is the 9th century, and though the church has enjoyed hundreds and hundreds of years as a united body, the issue of iconography became a hotly debated topic. The year is 813 AD, and Emperor Leo V has called a public assembly where thousands of his supporters gathered to celebrate Leo's announcement.
For too long has the empire tolerated the idolatrous, God-hating practice of the use of graven images. Today, people of the empire, I declare the use of icons to be an act against the empire itself, an act against the faith, and an act against God himself.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Beginning today, if you destroy an icon, you make God happy. And if you turn in an iconophile to the authorities, you make this empire stronger!
In her 20th year, 1 year after the death of Emperor Leo V, Theodora, a remarkable beauty, had distinguished herself in piety and learning, such that it was not mere rumor among the royal court that Euphrosyne had her eye on Theodora as a prospective bride for her son ruler.
What is your name, daughter of the empire?
Theodora, Grand Empress.
Euphrosyne is my name by birth. Please forgive me for startling you from your prayers. I only ask that you, one, add my son to your prayers, and two, Theodora. Be more careful. Some things are too precious to risk in open places.
Thank you. Thank you, Grand Empress.
Yes, yes, thank you for delivering the message. Lord have mercy. Theodora, come quickly. You will not believe this, my child.
But what is it, Mother?
Sit down. You're to meet.
To meet? To meet who? Mother, tell me!
You're to meet the Emperor himself. You have been summoned to the royal palace. A royal messenger left here after delivering the message just a few minutes ago.
But why would I go to meet the Emperor? Did I do something wrong?
Theodora could not help but let fear enter her mind. That perhaps her icons had been discovered.
She thought to run back to her room in that moment, but she knew her icons were safe under her bed. She had prayed with them not an hour before.
Ask yourself instead, why would the Emperor ask to meet you? Think about it, my beautiful daughter. The handsome Emperor remains unmarried.
But Mother!
I know, you'll need a new dress.
No. Mother,
He's not much older than you.
He's an iconoclast. I refuse to marry him.
But, as God so willed, the young and beautiful Theodora, in fact, did win the heart of Theophilus, and soon they were married.
Come, Theodora. Why the sad face?
The people want to see their new empress.
To think I would be married in a barren church, devoid of the face of Christ and his saints?
Theodora, you know that I love you. Maybe you aren't aware of this, but I've caught on to your icon-worshipping practices.
What?
Look at all these people. They look to us, to you, as their example. Don't tear this empire apart with your dissident beliefs.
From this day forth, I forbid you to practice your idolatry. My servants are burning your icons as we speak.
What in the world? Theophilus, how could you?
How could I? Theodora, I could have sent you to your execution with such a discovery. Take this as a warning. From this day forth, you will practice the true religion of the Eastern Roman Empire.
A beautiful couple for a beautiful empire. Oh, Euphrosyne, what a choice you've made in Theodora.
Indeed, she is beautiful inside and out. I believe that God shall work wonders through her.
As the years went by, Theodora raised 7 beautiful children for Theophilus. With Euphrosyne's help, Theodora was able to raise her children in true piety, allowing them to pray and see the face of their Savior and all his saints, but only in complete secrecy.
Come, children. We are going to visit Grandma Euphrosyne. Mama, are we going to play with the beautiful dolls?
These beautiful dolls were, in fact, icons.
The ruler king? What kind of tidings does he bring? They call him the ruler of this land. But now he's drunk and cannot stand.
Theophilus, my friend. It's too true. Can you even stand with those 2 legs?
Take it back, you slobbering dog.
Dendarius, sing us another song.
All right, then. Here's another one, my lord. Theophilus, the empire's strong, and so I'll sing you a new song. You think your walls are tall and true, but an enemy lurks within your crew.
Huh? Huh? Stop the music!
What did you say, you creepy little man?
My lord, I only make jest of what I see.
Theophilus, my friend, you only jokes.
I'll make a jest out of him!
Help! Help! I'll explain! Let me go!
Then speak true!
Dendarus speaks what Dendarus sees. An empress with icons made from paint and trees!
What?
Prove it, you little liar.
I will. I can. You see, as I walked within your palace, a fly I found within your chalice. Your wife and family, oh so pretty. I saw with icons, oh so petty.
An icon from the idolaters?
Worry not, friends. I'll take care of this in the morning.
Mother Euphrosyne, why have we all been brought here today? I'm not sure, Theodora. I'm not sure.
My dear subjects, I have brought you all here as witnesses. Witnesses to a true horror
and act of blasphemy.
This doesn't sound good.
This icon, this idol, was found within my walls.
Theodora, what are we to do?
I don't know. I just hope the children don't get dragged into this.
And what's worse, my own wife, Theodora, was framed by our court jester, Vendez.
Oh, my goodness, what?
Oh, dear God. Thank you, God. Theophilus has spared us.
Guards, this jester has played his last act. Take him away and know that this man is never allowed within the walls of Constantinople again.
Huh? What? No! Not I! Not I, Denderis! Let go of me! I am Denderis, the jester of the royal court!
Theophilus, I wanted to thank you for all that.
Don't speak of this any more. You know that I forbid you. Don't make me out to be a saint. Next time, I may not be so merciful, nor may I be able to find such an alibi for you.
By the providence of God, shortly after this event, Theophilus fell ill, and sometime soon later, had died.
Leaving the empire in the hands of the now Empress, Theodora.
As my first act as Empress, I restore for the empire the statement of the Christian Church as expounded in the Seventh and Great Council not many years ago at Nicaea, that the use of Christian images is good and right and a part of the true Orthodox practice.
Saint Empress Theodora, pray to God for us.
Wow, Nick, what an episode, huh?
Another amazing story.
Yeah, the story of Saint Theodora, the Empress, who really in many ways, you know, is the person that God used to preserve the use of icons throughout his church, right? The entire empire at the time.
Yeah, it's really interesting because the Seventh Ecumenical Council is actually years before and had already ratified and said that this is a legitimate practice and teaching of the church.
Right.
But still, as it happened many times in history, the heresy, the malpractice, etc., continued even after the official, you know, statement was given.
Right, right. Which is kind of echoes, you know, and those of you listening right now, you can go back and listen. We have an episode, a two-part episode, actually, on the First Ecumenical Council. The same thing happened there, right? First Ecumenical Council decried and you know, labeled as heresy, the Arian teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Arianism continued to flourish for the next, you know, 40, 60 years or so until the Second Ecumenical Council, when it finally really put a, you know, its foot down on it, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how the way the councils work, and Nick, this really speaks to Orthodoxy, doesn't it? The conciliar method, as opposed to, you know, in the West, it's like, okay, well, they just name a decree and kind of like on that day, or now this is official. In Orthodoxy, right, even the councils have to be accepted by the church as a whole, right? It takes time. There, as I'm sure you know, there are plenty of councils that have claimed to be ecumenical in a certain sense, but haven't been accepted more broadly. And it's like history tells the story as opposed to the people that are in it right at the moment, so to speak. So it is. It's a fascinating event in history, and that God would use a faithful woman and her family really to carry on and to preserve this practice of the church, I just find is remarkable and such a gift to the life of saints, you know, around the church.
Yeah, it's very interesting, you know, to hear that they were called the Beautiful Dolls by her and her family as kind of a code name for the icons. And the fact that, in one sense, you know, I feel like as an Orthodox Christian, we can take for granted the fact that we see the face of Christ and that we see the face of the saints, etc. You know, for us, it's very integral, but it's kind of scary to think, at least as an Orthodox Christian, to think that without that, you don't see the face of Christ, right? And it, right. In one sense, he becomes yet this ethereal being who never actually became incarnate almost. You know, and I think that's the point, at least one of the points of iconography, is that, no, he did come in the flesh, and that means that we can and should depict him for people to be seen, for him to be seen by people, I mean.
100%. You nailed it. That is so important to understand. You know, I hope people don't get tired of hearing it, but I'm a former Protestant, and I know for a fact now, as an Orthodox Christian, looking back on the time when I was Protestant, you're absolutely right. The fact that Christ is not seen in that sense, he's not depicted, the cross that would be in any church, the cross that I would see in a Protestant church every Sunday was an empty cross. They actually prided themselves in it being an empty cross because they were, you know, they're Protestants or anti-Catholic, and Catholics, as we all know, have crucifixes, which shows Christ on the cross. And so you have all these empty crosses in Protestantism, and it really does, Nick, it becomes this, well, God is up here, right?
Yeah.
My faith in Christ is up here. Yeah, sure. Maybe it's here, but it's not in a person, right? It's not in the incarnation of God. Yes, theologically, they believe that, of course, but in practice, like you said, you're not looking into the eyes of Christ, right? You're not seeing. Yeah. And then I think the extension of that, Nick, I want to get your thoughts on this. By extension, then it's harder to see your brother and your sister as an icon as well, right?
Yeah.
In the same sense, because we were created in the image of God. And so I think there's even that disconnect
without
the use of icons.
It's true. There's more of an emphasis on the incarnational and resurrectional aspect as opposed to only the sacrificial, right? There's not so much an emphasis in the Orthodox Church of the cross and the sacrifice in that sense, but rather that holistic that holistic experience of God coming to save the entire aspect of the person, not just simply to pay a debt to an angry father.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's such a beautiful thing. We, you know, our listeners probably know at this stage that, you know, today is the vindication of Orthodoxy, right? It's a beautiful time in the church where we remember this event. It's granted, it's focused on the Seventh Ecumenical Council. But as you already pointed out, Nick, what Saint Theodora the Empress did was she preserved what was already, instantiated in the Seventh Ecumenical Council. And so we really celebrate her as well. And it's kind of interesting. Like I was thinking from a liturgical perspective, she's not mentioned by name today, at least to my knowledge. Did I miss that? Do you know anything about that?
In Matins, she's commemorated, but she also has her own separate feast day in February. So,
right.
But
February 11th, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wasn't sure if she was actually mentioned by name. That's great. I'm glad you heard that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really beautiful thing. And to see from this story, God willing, you got to see her bravery, right? And what it took for her, because you're right. She had to use even code names. She was still teaching her children about these things. You know, her husband, who's literally the ruler of the free world at the time, truly, truly amazing, right? Just an actual life of faith lived out. So yeah, we really hope that you enjoyed this episode and this brief discussion regarding Saint Theodora. Nick, where can people find us on the interwebs?
Yeah, you can find us anywhere podcasts can be heard, whether that's Google Podcasts, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. So
absolutely. Yeah. And if you're at all inclined, we would ask if you're interested in supporting this ministry, supporting Cloud of Witnesses Radio. We do have a Patreon page, as Nick mentioned. Go check us out over there. We try to keep it up with fun things to see behind the scenes, hopefully more over time as well. And we're just very, very grateful. Thanks be to God.
We've got a lot of projects on the horizon, and we're really excited to share them with you as they get cooked.
Exactly right. That's exactly. There's a lot of cooking going on in the kitchen right now.
There really is. There really is.
Not seeing all of it yet, but by God's grace, it'll be coming out over time. So,
amen.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening this long into the episode. We are incredibly grateful, and thank you to our voice actors, Nick. They
Indeed.
Did a great job on this episode, and we are eternally grateful for their volunteer time.
Indeed.
Bye bye.
Signing off.
Hi, I am Robert, and I played Leo the Fifth.
Hello, my name is Christian. I voiced one of the iconoclasts and one of the friends of the Emperor.
Hi, my name is Dante, and I was narrator one.
Hi, this is Lorinda, and I played her name?
Ufda.
Euphrosia. Euphrosia. Okay, hold on. Okay. Hi, this is Lorinda. I played Euphrosyne.
This is Nick, and I played Dendaris.
No, not I!
This is John, and I portrayed Emperor Theophilus.
This is Hannah, and I played Theodora. And that's a wrap!
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cloud of Witnesses, Journey with the Saints. We hope it proved to be exciting and inspiring for all of our listeners. May God, through the prayers of His most pure Mother and all the saints, guide us all to the heavenly homeland. We hope to see you next time, here on Cloud of Witnesses, Journey with the Saints.